So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Toonforce.
All right, I am a substitute today. A substitute for another guy named Larry Toonforce. That's right, I'm Paul LaVoy, coming to you from Lake Havasu City, hosting Speak Out 2.0. Welcome to the show, everybody. We've got a great one on tap. Jackie Wallen is with us by phone, and Jackie is, of course, the Executive Director of the Laughlin Tourism Commission and President of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. And you have a guest with you as well, Jackie.
Oh, could I get to introduce him?
Absolutely.
He's one of my favorite friends. His name is Michael Cavallaro, and I just call him the sexy bugman. So he's not an exterminator. He is the one with the PhD that studies all of our bugs here, and primarily he's helping us get rid of the nuisance caddisfly. And he knows much more about it than I do. That's why I'm just introducing.
Man,
come on, Michael, step up.
I came in contact with those firsthand down in Parker. They obviously have a problem as well. So, Michael, hello to you, and welcome to the show. I've heard you on before, and you certainly have a lot to offer as a guest as far as caddisfly abatement and that and other critters. Jackie, I want to talk about that a little bit later. If you will, because the big announcement, actually you have two big announcements, and one involves the airport.
Yes, I do. Last week, the Bullhead City Council voted to go ahead and transfer the $75,000 to the airport, Mojave County Airport Authority. I sit on that board of directors also, in case anybody wanted to know, to match the donation or sponsorship that we received from Las Vegas Events or LVCVA to put on our first major air show. We have been setting April 1st, 2023 aside for a long time. The director of the airport, Jeremy Keaton, and I have been talking for 3 years.
Wow.
And in February of 2020, we were able to acquire our consultant. We interviewed quite a few consultants before we even put this out on the market, and we found one from Michigan. He has 30 years in the air show consulting business, mm-hmm. and he's going to teach us how to do an air show. He's not always going to be here, so it's going to be a big learning curve for Jeremy and I and the rest of the committee. But you have two major sponsors, Bullhead City, the city of Bullhead City, and Laughlin Tourism Commission. Each $75,000, Mojave County Airport Authority will come in with some cash also, and we are really looking forward to sponsorships, whether they're in-kind or cash, product or services, so that we can put this on. We had our first, of course, experience with a lot of people at the airport, specifically Laughlin Bullhead City Airport, when President Trump came, so it gave us our first kind of experience handling that many people. And then, of course, we had our air show in April to reserve that weekend for our upcoming air show.
Yeah,
so we're kind of excited.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's big news, because the other big air show I can think of, I'm not even sure if it's an air show, it's the Reno Air Races. Are you kind of patterning the infrastructure after that, or how's this going to work? Do you know?
There's a lot of different small rural air shows that we have to look at, but you also have to look at our logistics specifically. A air show is normally sponsored and promoted by a nonprofit looking to raise money for their nonprofit passion.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we can't charge money for a air show because you don't need to be at the airport to see it in this valley. What we're doing an air show for is to bring attention to our destination through a new desirable, I guess you call it, asset. There are two assets we don't use enough in bringing promotions or events here, and that is our airport and our lake and beautiful water. So we have great assets we're just not using them to the best of our ability. And I think the airport is one of those that we've left aside.
Wow. That is super interesting. When I heard the news, I thought, wow, that's a long ways away. April 1st of 2023. And the weather should be absolutely perfect. I'm not saying the wind will cooperate, but the weather, the temperature that pilots depend on, you know, for lift and that sort of thing, should be absolutely perfect. So did that play a factor in the time frame of when this event was going to fall?
Certainly the date is, number one, we were told that the beginning of April, no other air shows, it's the first of the air show season, mm-hmm. April. And there was no other air show slated for the 1st of April. So we stuck our toe in there, mm-hmm. hoping that we could make ours as popular and get those entertainers and performers out the first of the season at our location. Remember, the destination is what we're trying to sell, and this is just another way to get people who have different interests here. The one thing that we did before we went into it, of course, was look at weather. One of them was temperature, and the temperature looked really, really good through all the years that we researched. And then we did a 10-year study on wind speeds. So we didn't go in this lightly. We are fully prepared. And that was one of the best weekends in 4 weeks, give or take a week or two on either side of that date. That was the best for anticipating the proper wind speed.
That's fantastic. And luckily, you don't have to plan, I don't think you do anyway, for the Laughlin River Run, which would be like, it's the Bullhead City River Run now. I'm kind of dating myself, which would be like 3 weeks away from that. But I'm sure the nonprofits will appreciate the fact that there's going to be another event so close.
Right, and because it is so close, the different interests, you know, a motorcycle rider doesn't necessarily like planes or
vice versa,
but we have had some big personal jets pull in here and their motorcycles pull out the back of that jet. On some occasions, we've all been able to see them land at the airport and have Harleys run out the back of those planes. It's pretty funny.
That is very cool. How many people, you were talking about the Trump rally and that, how many people did the airport property hold during that rally? Do you know for sure or an approximate?
I think it was around 15,000.
Wow, that's a really good indicator then, because you could draw that many people. I'm not sure at one time, but over the course of a day or two for the air show. So that's good to know.
Right. So the first year is only going to be one day because we have to get I'll have to get my wings wet. I can't think about it anyway, but we're going to do a full day. The price that we're offering for an air show, $300,000 is like minimum for an air show. The one thing we have going for us is that we do have a lot of properties and interested stakeholders that will help us with the expenses, like marketing, rooms, transportation, meals, those kind of things. So those things will hopefully help us reduce the amount of expense for each entertainer. And because the proximity of our valley from both sides, you don't have to be on the airport tarmac to see the show, but it would be much better if you can be there, because we're going to have a festival and static presentations on the ground also.
Yeah, sure. And I think, by the way, a good pilot would say that's like dipping your landing gear in the water, just touching it, you know, and being by the river, that would be a perfect analogy. So are there organizations like pilots or air clubs or that? I don't know that world very well, so I'm just kind of spitballing here. But are they reaching out to them to let them know, hey, we're going to have an air show in Laughlin?
Remember, we have a consultant. He's the guy that's pushing us in the right direction. And, of course, we made conversations with professional promoters, sponsors, in-kind donations, corporate sponsors. The air show entertainment, I think it is something, mm-hmm. association. Jeremy's doing much more of that. Our committee is being built by so many experienced people that you and I both know through the Valley, that's going to bring the best of their experience with us onto this committee and get things done the right way the first time. And the website is already up. It's LaughlinBullheadAirShow.com. You can put your information in there, and we will keep you updated on all the progress we are making. We just put out the press release last week, so now we're starting to make contact with people and see how they want to participate, especially the nonprofits who want to make money for their passionate goals.
Right, and you already met a pretty big goal, I would say, having the match from the city of Bullhead for $75,000 to invest in this event. That's a huge achievement.
Yeah, this is more than we expected in the beginning. Also, we have tourism grants coming that we are applying for so that we can help with the tourism marketing part of this and let people outside our normal marketing genres, radio, TV, and those kind of things. We want extra money so we can do better, like billboards and collateral and more commercials, driving people to this destination for that show.
I was going to say, you probably just added a lot of hours to Val Gabaldon's calendar as well, right?
Well, she's handling, she is on the committee, and mm-hmm. she's handling concessions and vendors.
Nice. Val has to be on the committee. Are you kidding? She's like your right hand over there, isn't she?
Yeah, she's more than just a hand.
Yeah, exactly.
She keeps me together.
Right. All right. Let's remind the listeners, you're listening to Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul Lavoie, sitting in for Larry Toonforce. And don't call the Laughlin studio number if you want to talk to us today. But we do have a phone line open. It's 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Jackie is the executive director of the Laughlin Tourism Commission. That's correct, right? Not committee?
You're correct.
Laughlin Tourism Commission and president of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. Now, you actually have an announcement that you kind of saved for the show today regarding the CDC.
The CDC. So we were blessed through the CDC Foundation. We got 17 pallets, 17 pallets filled with individual test kits, COVID-19 and variant test kits. Mm-hmm. We got gloves in every size, and we packaged them together for families. Sanitizer bottles, KN95 masks, cotton masks, mm-hmm. and they're all going into these kits. They're valued at $44 a piece, and I got them for free. And all of the local volunteers have been up in the Laughlin Mall right above Larry Toonforce's studio. They're all up there making packages for every single person that wants to have one. We're starting with residents and small businesses first, and we're almost done preparing them for pickup. You'll be able to, when we announce it on Facebook, we'll be able to start releasing those here from our chamber, from the mall, and there'll be other places like the food bank, Southern Nevada Health District. We'll send some down to Bayshore, some realty offices, those kind of things, so that you can go by and pick up packages for your family. But there'll be 4 tests, 8 masks, and plenty for a family of 4 in the beginning. If you need more, there'll be a phone number on there that tells you how to get more. But it was all free, and I'm so excited to be able to offer it to the community.
Yeah, that's amazing. How did you swing that? Where did you even see the grant opportunity?
I knew somebody in the CDC, and they said, Jackie, the last time I talked to you, nothing had been delivered to Laughlin to protect your community on both sides of the river, and I wanted to know if you wanted some of the stuff that we have in the warehouse. I said, well, COVID's starting to decline with the different variants right now, and they said, that's why we're calling you first. I said, okay, so what can I get? And by the time we ordered 30,000 test kits and 30,000 of these and 30,000 of those, it ended up being 17 pallets. Well, we had a few cars that went and got some stuff and brought them down, but really the Homeland Security and Laughlin Metropolitan Police Department got some trailers, unloaded the pallets, put them in trailers, got them down here to the mall, put them back on the pallets, and then got them up to the suite. Styles for Less is where volunteers can go and help us put these packages together. Any volunteer, all we're doing is sitting in a little line and putting everything in the bag and then stapling it with the information sheet on the front. And they're going to be free, $44 a piece, and they're going to be free to anybody that wants one.
Nice. Who would have thought such a generous donation would go to such a remote location? Nice score for the rurals, right? for rural
right,
Nevada.
And that's what I said. I said, get it down here. We have plenty of volunteers that don't really do events in the summertime because it's too hot. This gives them an air-conditioned place to sit down and still enjoy each other's company and do something amazing for the community.
All right, Jackie and Michael, let's take a short break. Jackie, I remembered you love Kane Brown, right?
I do.
I know you do. I know you do. I remember as the first host of Speak Out 2.0 many, many, many moons ago. Again, we're talking to Jackie Wallen. She's the Executive Director of the Laughlin Tourism Commission and President of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. And Dr. Michael Cavallaro is next with Jackie. He's a Municipal Entomologist and Pest Abatement Manager for the City of Bullhead. And I'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to Speak Out 2.0. Brought to you in part by Walker Service Electric, also Pets 5150, the Laughlin Outlet Center, Perkins in Bullhead City, and Barron Services. We'll be right back in just a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie.
And Bobby Pins holding your hair up, girl, you don't need them no more. That dress hanging off your shoulder as you move a little closer, yeah, let's lose it.
All right, a little bit more Kane Brown for our guest, Jackie Wallen, Executive Director, Laughlin Tourism Commission, and President of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. Speak Out 2.0, also brought to you in part by ProFit Kitchen, Arizona Comfort Solutions, MEC, or Mojave Electric Cooperative, Legacy Rehab and Care Center, and also Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. All right, so Jackie, you had another announcement you told me off the air, and this is about a huge fishing tournament, or the U.S. Open.
Yeah, so first, for those who don't know what Laughlin Tourism Commission is, most people know what a chamber is and what we do. We support our community and our members. But Laughlin Tourism Commission is a commission that is governed only by general managers of resort-defined properties in the Laughlin Corridor.
Okay.
You have to be a GM, right, and you have to pay dues, and you participate in the Laughlin Tourism Commission, and our mission is to promote and sponsor townwide events that increase tourism.
That makes total sense. So, that organization has been around for a long time, hasn't it?
It is. It just changes because the GM changes in those properties. When the GMs change, you have a little bit of different input. You get new blood, right? And you get decide how to do new things and have new events instead of having the standard ones all over the time. So now, when we heard that Lake Mead was going to be low this fall and that they were looking at their 40th anniversary U.S. Open bass tournament, mm-hmm, we're talking smallmouth and largemouth, at Lake Mead could not be held. I kind of threw my whole body into the soapbox, not just my foot. I didn't just raise my hand. I just went in all.
Right, right.
And said, I'll take it. I'll take it. And it worked. We got the sponsorship money. We're promoting it. And we're going to have the 40th annual U.S. Bass Tournament at Lake Mojave.
Okay, so is that based out of Catherine Landing or Cottonwood Cove or both?
They'll launch out of Catherine. Mm-hmm. Most of the festivities, of course, will be on the Laughlin side. Of course, rooms, charging their trolling motors, all that stuff will be at their accommodating resort. But all of the fishing and the weighing will be done at Catherine.
Okay. Okay. Because I know that...
Now, this is an opportunity for our locals, because remember, when we have a bass tournament, this one's going to have 400 anglers, over 200 vessels, bass boats, like over $110,000 each. Well, there's a pro on every bass boat. But with every pro, you get an amateur. So if you want to go out with an amateur, with a pro for 3 days and learn how to bass fish for small and largemouth bass with professional equipment and have opportunity to win biggest bag or biggest fish mm-hmm. or become a member of their elite club, then you just sponsor yourself and go out for 3 days, and you get all the education you need.
That's amazing. There's a guy I played soccer with in high school who's now a professional bass fisherman, has been for many, many years, comes to Havasu to fish here as well. So you're reaching out to the entire tri-state area as far as fishermen go for professional or amateur, correct?
Yes. The professionals normally run this circuit. I mean, they've been going to this U.S. Open for 39 years. Mm-hmm. This is their 40th. This is their big year. But the amateurs can come from anywhere. It's half the price of what a pro would pay, and the payouts are around $250,000, and the brand-new bass boat goes to the winner.
That's some nice cheddar. So what's the time frame on this again?
So the actual bass tournament is going to be October 10, 11, 12, but you can start signing up right now.
Nice. So I would imagine just do a Google search for that, or is there a website?
Yeah, there is a website, but if you just Google U.S. Open Lake Mojave, it'll come up and take you to the website for WON Fishing Tournaments, W-O-N Fishing Tournaments,
mm-hmm.
and you go on to the events page, and it starts telling you about all the events. You click and just register.
Very good. I'm learning all your Google secrets. I love it.
I'm telling you, it's so much fun to watch a fishing tournament. We had one here in March. It was kind of a play one to see how we liked it. And I couldn't keep away from it.
That's
having so much fun.
Yeah, give me the secret to watching a fishing tournament. That's kind of interesting. I never would have thunk it.
Yeah, in person it's so much fun to watch them come in. They do some lives for some of the boats, but most of it's when they come in and turn in their five fish bag. Five fish in a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is a 28-pounder, and we're pretty excited for this year.
Well, that's interesting.
So I need to move on so that we can introduce Mike again. He has so much to talk about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to give him a lot of the second half hour for sure. Thanks, Jackie. I appreciate that for reminding me, keeping me on track.
What I want people to know is that Mike Cavallaro is part of a larger system of water flow committee locals that get together once a month with the Bureau of Reclamation and the Department of Interior to talk about water flows. From Hoover, Meade, and Parker, we consider everything and we negotiate and, what would you say, compromise mm-hmm. on water flows in a way that it will do best for everyone. So in the water flow world, there is irrigation, hydroelectricity,
right.
and recreation that we consider the most. That goes beyond municipalities and who uses the water and who doesn't. And conservation efforts. And one of those all lines in there is the flow of water to help our PhD combat caddisfly and other nuisance bugs.
Okay.
And that was, of course, is there when the treatment is done for the black fly and the mosquito. And that's been a system that's worked for a long, long time. And now we just have something new to work on. And that didn't happen overnight, did it, Mike? The black fly and the mosquito. So this is going to take a while, too, but we are making progress.
All right, perfect. You know, you can make a good producer one day. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Who?
You, Jackie Wallen.
Oh.
Jackie, we're going to take another break. I want to kind of play off of that fishing tournament news. We're going to go to some Florida-Georgia line along with Morgan Wallen playing up, down, up, down, because they're doing a lot of fishing in this video, so.
Oh, yay.
I love Florida-Georgia Line, by the way. All right.
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment on Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul Lavoie, sitting in for Larry Tuneforce, and we'll be back with Michael Cavallaro and Jackie Wallen. Stay with us on Speak Out 2.0.
Still rolling around with a bunch of CD Freebird. 5 minutes deep, yeah, bobbing up. She was wrong.
right, welcome back to Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul LaVoie, sitting in for Larry Tuneforce. If you want to chime in on the conversation, our phone number today only is 928-854-KNTR. 928-854-5687. Larry tells me he will be back on Wednesday. We don't expect to be on tomorrow, though, but Wednesday, we expect to hear from Larry Tuneforce back on the air. At least that's what I heard today. So, all right, Speak Out 2.0 brought to you in part by Laughlin Ranch Golf Club, also Bulldog Disposal and Recycling in Kingman, TWN, Laughlin Ranch. I think I already said that one, right, Jim? The Southwest Financial Center, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, and by East West Financial. All right, back on Speak Out 2.0, and we've got Jackie Wallen, the Executive Director of the Laughlin Tourism Commission and President of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce. Tell me that doesn't all fit on a business card.
It does, barely.
All right. Speaking of long titles, we have the Municipal Entomologist and Pest Abatement Manager for the City of Bullhead City. It's an honor for me to interview Dr. Michael Cavallaro. I've heard you before on the show, and just a fantastic mind when it comes to bugs and critters. And you're a PhD, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So, yeah, no, Jackie and I are in competition for the most letters on our business cards and title. I've been with the City of Bullhead City for three years now. I have my PhD in environmental toxicology, but throughout my career I studied contaminants and public health hazards and using insects to grade environmental health and human health. So the various research projects that I've done throughout the years have kind of cumulatively helped me with the program that I manage now for the city.
So as far as the caddisfly is concerned and the swarms that the caddisfly, I guess that's like around, from my experience anyway, in Parker was around sunset or sunrise, I would guess. It has to be a certain temperature. I don't know. You know all that stuff. There's much smarter minds than me when it comes to bugs, and you're one of them. So is the problem getting better, Michael?
Yeah, so I would say from the genesis of when I started, there was a number of kind of breadcrumb research projects that had merit to follow. Mm-hmm. So, among the nuisance insects that we have around here, the net spinning caddisflies are number one on the hit list, and there were a couple of different projects that we pursued early on looking at trying to develop pheromone traps, trying to look at insecticidal paints, trying to manipulate lighting and things like that. But when it came down to it, it wasn't as sweeping as we were hoping. And with maybe a dozen different federal and state agencies looking over my shoulder, trying to make sure that the Colorado River maintains its status as a pristine river system and all the different people it supports, it's a challenge to find the right strategy that also can actually have an impact on the insect population.
Right. So you've tried this before with the low flow the Colorado River and that and of course the corresponding bullhead shore cleanups and that sort of thing. But the goal was to dry out the larva. Is that correct? And did it work as well as you had planned?
Yeah, so the low flow program has been in effect for about 2 years now, and it's been a great synergy in the community with doing the cleanups and having people be able to perform maintenance and things like that. Mm-hmm. But initially, it wasn't really well received. People were quite skeptical on whether or not this was actually going to work. But it was a sequential research questions that looked at the temperature tolerance of caddisflies, the desiccation tolerance of caddisflies, and basically trying to put my two cents in of trying to figure out what days would be best based on the caddisfly's life cycle to impose a kind of a twofold abatement strategy. So the one side of it is we try to lower the river in the summer when it's hot and a lot of sun, a lot of UV interaction with the riverbed, and try to essentially cook them. It doesn't take long. We did a number of studies in the lab to look at the timing of that. And in 2020, super successful. We had 2 days that were There were, you know, above 110 on one day, above 95 on the other day. And I, by my calculations, we did a lot of different habitat measures and larval mortality tests on the riverbed. We probably knocked back about a million caddisflies, rough, give or take. That's a pretty conservative measure. But and the other the element of the low flow program that's been really successful is the overnight program, which is designed to desiccate their egg masses. Mm-hmm. So when female caddisflies deposit their eggs on the surface of the water, the eggs will look for biofilms and attach to different physical surfaces. So there'll be docks, boats, rocks, plant matter, things like that.
Okay.
But if we have the river up at 4 or 5 units and periodically drop it overnight, these eggs will attach to surfaces that become dry overnight very rapidly. And because of their surface volume ratio, the egg masses dry out within an hour or so. So it's been an interesting program, and it's been among the most successful abatement tools that we have right now.
What areas are most challenging when you look at, let's say, the Avi all the way up to Davis Dam?
So among the, I guess, the aquatic insect suppression area that we try to tackle would be from the Laughlin Bridge to, you know, the Casino Strip area,
okay,
down to Palo Verde Meadows, mm-hmm, as far as, you know, trying to impact the township of Laughlin and city of Bullhead City proper. Among the most challenging spot is right along the bend. So you have folks that right where Riverside and Riverfront meet.
Sure.
And if you expand out about a half mile either way, that is my focus point at this time for the most part, because the low flows in the way that they act, it's really challenging to have the topography of the river kind of work against you, so you don't get as much riverbed exposure in those areas. So the impact of the treatment didn't work as well. But we are on year 2 now, and I actually am getting more compliments about the low-flow program this year than I've ever had. So we still have our hot spots and our seasonal issues,
mm-hmm,
but overall we've been able to truncate the nuisance activity, daily nuisance activity, and then the seasonal nuisance activity as well.
Michael, what were you surprised to learn from the low flow activity? What were you surprised to learn as far as the abatement process goes?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It's funny, I moved up in my seat when you said that, because these guys are way tougher than I expected.
No kidding.
So, you expect insects to go through different compensatory behaviors to deal with stress in the environment. There's a lot of stressful things that they have to deal with,
mm-hmm,
whether it's predation, whether it's different abiotic cues, temperature, humidity, photo period. But among the different microhabitats that exist on the riverbed, there are, you know, plant material, we have our moss, we have our algae, and these larvae, depending on their stages, they can actually withstand some of the treatments that we do. So there were some instances where if, for example, a caddisfly larva was able to make it to a patch of aquatic moss or a patch of vascular plants, that they would be able to withstand the 8 hours of drying on the riverbed because they had that little local humidity or that little moisture that retained in that area. That is probably the front of my wow, this is cool, this is science, you know, like
right.
The one thing that surprised me the most is when I asked you the question, how did it go and did they just die on the surface of any surface that they were on, and you said that some of them were so freaked out that they pre-emerged and committed suicide.
I would say that, yeah, there's another element to this which is kind of interesting. So when a holometabolous insect is an insect that has complete metamorphosis. You have an egg, larval stage, pupa stage, and adult. And holometabolous insects, whether it's terrestrial or aquatic, if they're really stressed out, like if you have a caterpillar or something like that in a cocoon, it's really stressed out during its pupal stage, and it can feel it during its pupal stage, it'll try to become an adult earlier. But its physiology does not match up with becoming an adult earlier. It just is not ready yet. It's almost like a premature hatching kind of thing.
Okay.
And that is that's been one another element that's been really interesting about this process. It's kind of invoking that behavioral response.
Michael, I love the passion you have for your work. Again, we're talking to Dr. Michael Cavallaro. He is the municipal entomologist and pest abatement manager for the city of Bullhead City. We also have Jackie Wallen on the line, the president of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce and executive director of Laughlin Tourism Commission. Jackie, does Laughlin benefit from this as well, or are they as active in the process when there's the low flow?
Okay, so this started over 3 years ago, and Michael came on to our water flow committee so that we could all work together for low flows. Because, you know, we like low flows for certain periods, especially for river cleanup, dock repairs, cutting back foliage, and that kind of stuff. Just to make sure it stays safe, we pick up glass. And then there are those that like to go out there and metal hunt for stuff that's been lost in the bottom of the river. But what's been great is having the science and tourism and realty and municipalities and the federal government and local government all together every month to decide how we're going to help Michael and how does Michael help us and how do water flows affect those people in tourism when he wants to do a science project. So we all have to work together, and this committee is amazing. It is what? Homeschool meets federal government. It's like, it's just the best thing because we all talk so openly to each other in these meetings. And the Water Flow Committee, that is a permanent committee of the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce, is really proud of the work that we've been able to do, especially with Michael to help us with the caddisfly. Because our tourism believes that that's something that's here year-round. And so when they leave, they say, we're getting out of these flies. When you finally educate them and let them know that the reason the caddisfly is here is because we have such perfect, what do you call it, biological, ecological?
The Goldilocks zone.
The Goldilocks zone, okay.
That's what I call it. So, yeah, this specific species of caddisfly really thrives in systems that have hydroelectric dams. And basically a mock river head. So where the water's really fast moving, there's lots of food, and really high water quality. So
means we're clean. It's like a badge of honor.
That makes so much sense considering I went through a swarm around sunset when I was playing in Parker a few weeks back. And, yeah, they are definitely a nuisance. Are there any other bugs that you have science projects going for, Michael? I hate to call it that, but Jackie said it first, so.
But make sure they know that the caddisfly is harmless.
I should reiterate that the caddisfly is just a nuisance insect. So it does not bite, it doesn't sting, it doesn't carry disease. It's just its behavior that and the subsequent behaviors that, you know, people have to clean up piles of dead caddisflies outside their porch and things like that. It's just
it's sort of like when you go to an oversold concert.
It's a quality.
People are in your way.
quality of life, quality of experience.
Yeah.
So the program also focuses on mosquitoes and black flies in the region. The black fly program is pretty cookbook. It's been implemented for a couple of decades now. It's a collaboration with the Bullhead City Pest Abatement District and Clark County Vector Control.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mojave County Public Health also works with me on mosquitoes in the area as well. And also the Fort Mojave Indian Tribe. It's a lot of networking, a lot of kind of trial and error with some of the strategies that we implement. But it all does come back to the lab and a lot of different hypotheses that we try to answer and then test out in the field.
Now,
being open-minded. Yeah.
Now, what about gnats? I understand the Bullhead Wave could actually be named the Cavallaro Wave because you know so much about gnats.
Well, the buffalo gnat or the black fly is the one that kind of started this whole pest abatement district back in 1983. So the black flies were terrible back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and then with the development of a little bacteria called BTI in a formulated product, it definitely changed the life of people here and changed the way that the city, I think, eventually grew. So economically, we have a lot to lean on for this special district and their dedication to trying to improve public health outcomes when it comes to nuisance insects and vectors.
Well, I was just listening to a podcast about invasive species and that, and a lot of times, like in Texas, for example, they'll introduce one animal to control another animal, and that, and I'm really happy to hear that you haven't done that in Bullhead City.
Yeah, no, that is something that is so touchy in the ecological world, I would say, because of the overwhelming, unsuccessful trials over and over again. There are some instances where it has worked, but this is not a problem that could be answered in that way, in my opinion. That's what we do as far as introducing any kind of biological control agents is stock rainbow trout every year. That's a program that's been a mainstay since 2016 now, I believe, and we got it back going again. And the Bullhead City Pest Abatement District spends about $75,000 a year to stock roughly 40,000 trout, depending on how many we can get on the truck. And they are evenly spaced over the two time periods where the caddisflies are most abundant in their emergence period. So in the spring and in the fall are our target stocking times. But those are our secret fish. We don't tell people about those stocking dates.
Right. So
they have a job to do.
So Radio Central News Network, we've done one little kind of a preview of what's going to happen with the next low flow. You want to give us the date and everything that's going to happen and what you hope will happen, especially with Jackie and the cleanups around the area. When is that date?
Yeah, so we have our first low flow that's coming up next week, July 19th. It is a Tuesday, and it'll start at 8 a.m. and end at 3 p.m. But that realized flow will likely extend beyond 3 p.m. So the BOR stresses that if you're going to be using the river that day, just to watch out for natural hazards and things like that, be safe out there. And in coordination with a couple of community groups, I believe, specifically Bullhead City Parks and Rec, I know is really good at getting out there and cleaning up that river. And they're happy to accept any kind of volunteers. You show up at Community Park, Rotary Park, Colorado River Nature Center. There'll be people out there trying to clean up our river for sure.
Wow.
And from the science perspective, I'm hoping to take more measurements on looking on riverbed habitat and looking at mortality rates of larvae and then their different developmental stages to see what kind of weighted average mortality response we'll get from each treatment. So the first one coming up next Tuesday, and then the second one coming up on August 16th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. again.
Good to know. You just answered my next question about what your goals are. So, Jackie, is there anything we missed in the course of this past 50 minutes or so that you want to get out there?
I just want the whole part for me and Michael is educate. We're not taking the river down because we want to ruin your vacation or we want to hurt the prop on your boat. This is the day you just stay off the river unless you're going to help us clean it. Enjoy the fact that we have a real PhD here doing scientific projects and low flows to help us decimate the caddisflies. That is what we want to do.
And if anybody has any specific questions, or I'm going to go into greater detail coming up. I have a low-flow caddisfly forum at the Bullhead City Council Chambers on Thursday, the 14th, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So I'll talk a little bit more about the data that I've collected. And if folks want to just talk about the low flows and have any questions, that would be the time to do it.
Oh, that's great. We'll help you get the word out on that. And Michael Cavallaro and Jackie Wallen, thanks for joining us today on Speak Out 2.0.
No, thank you for having us, and thank you for helping us educate the public about the low flows. It really is a situation where you have to be careful what days you plan to go out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for being on the phone and putting up with our little technical stuff, you know, having to do it by phone, but at least you didn't have to leave the office today, right?
Right.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Wish Larry well.
Appreciate it.
I sure will. Thank you. All right. I'm wishing Larry well. There you go. All right. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue in a moment. We'll tell you what's coming up, or Speak Out 2.0 will continue. That's hard to get used to, Jim. Jim will even be on the next hour. So I'm not just talking to someone named Jim. I'll be actually talking to a real person. All right. We'll come back with more and let you know who's on the next hour. Stay with us.
Sweet tea, pecan pie, homemade wine, where the peaches grow. And my house is not much to talk about.